Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keefe, right now on WEEI.
Keith, are you ready for the Patriots season to be over?
I am. I am ready for that. I think so are the Patriots.
Yesterday was so bad.
How bad was it?
I don't even think I can put it to work.
No.
There was something
that's gonna
about...
do it for us today. Seriously, like watching that game, you had to wait all day for it. You know it's head to head with Bills Lions, which we'll get to later.
That made it extra depressing.
90 total points in that game.
That made it extra depressing.
And we're watching this slog just brutal.
I think
they can't
tackle. They can't block.
They can't do a thing.
I think there was something about it being at 4 o'clock. As Nick said before the show, almost 4:30. That made it extra miserable. Like it just made it feel extra miserable yesterday. Yeah. They start out. They do what they always do. They put together a nice drive. They stall out in the red zone or near the red zone. Hold, miss kick, and from there the Cardinals just kind of pour it on. The Patriots get some touchdowns late. Questionable play calling. Ugly turnovers where the Patriots just hand it to the other side. It just yesterday felt bad in a bad season.
Yeah.
Yesterday felt like it stood out. And I think it's because it was a 4 o'clock game with the Z Squad on the broadcast, with the Lions and Bills going head to head with it. And it felt extra bad.
Well, and they hadn't played in 2 weeks. Right. So like we hadn't seen them play in a while. And then this is what they do. This is the product that we're getting.
This is what they worked on.
Brutal. Because like one of the things we talked about last week was, all right, this is the first time for head coach Gerard Mayo to coach a game after the bye. Could be a big advantage, right, for great coaches. The bye week is huge. Like, oh, my God, you're the Cardinals. Like, Gerard Mayo has 2 weeks to prepare for us. What does he have up his sleeve? Turns out nothing.
Turns out
he doesn't have anything up his sleeve. And it's not just more of the same. It might be worse. It's so weird that they won the first game of the season. They beat the Bengals week one, and you're like, oh, maybe.
And they looked like they had an identity.
They were tackling guys.
They played with edge.
Hard-nosed.
Smacking the crap out of Cincinnati. Yeah. Like, the offense was ugly, but you're like, okay, they have an identity.
Worse.
They have an attitude. It's gotten worse.
And that's why, like, again, so many people talk about, like, hey, you got to give this guy time. And, you know, it's year one. He's got no talent. Look at Dan Campbell. Look at Bill Belichick in 2000. Like, look at all these guys. They trended up by the end of the year. Their teams were looking better at the end of the year. Dan Campbell got off to a horrible start, and he was a punchline for a long time. Then they kind of righted the ship, and they played 500 football the last 6 weeks of the season. If the Patriots are going to play 500 football the last 6 weeks of the season, they need to win out. They need to beat Buffalo twice. They need to beat the Bills twice.
I don't feel good about that.
No, unless the Bills just don't show up week 18 and take them super, super, super lightly, which I guess is a possibility. But even then, I don't like their chances of pulling that one out. But yeah, this is once again, you get a situation, and the broadcast was on it too. Drake May, Christian Gonzalez, and 51 other guys. It's like what you have.
Well, and including the coaching staff.
Well, no,
too.
Lump them in.
But man, yeah. I didn't love the broadcast yesterday. No offense to the afternoons guy there, Ross Tucker. I didn't love
He'll
the
be on
broadcast
tomorrow
yesterday
with the fellas.
Yeah, check that out. Yep. But they were giving it to the Pats during the broadcast. Like the
they
game,
were. They were very honest.
The game analysis I didn't care much for, but the big picture analysis was pretty good.
Oh yeah,
and they caught Jonathan and Robert in the middle of the game just ripping the play calling.
That might have been the most entertaining thing of the entire game.
Yeah,
it really was.
Yeah.
You get a shot up there after a negative run. And there's Jonathan Kraft with his notebook out, just hammering away notes. It says the offensive play calling is terrible.
I'd love to get my hands on that thing.
Yeah, what do you think he's got in there?
I have no idea.
Just some doodles?
I
know when I was supposed to take notes in college, there's a lot of like Batman symbols
and
a lot of doodling.
Yeah, there's a lot of doodling going on in the margins.
He's got like real bullet points, like fire Alex Van Pelt, fire Jerod Mayo, fire everybody. He's like, Dad, what do you think of these?
Yeah, there's like a bunch of Dunder Mifflin paper notes in there because he's very busy with that.
Good job by Terps. Got it up in the Twitch chat.
Nice. Look at
that
these.
That really
two.
Was. That was the most entertaining part. He's got his pen out. Can't believe the play calling.
Okay, so he's not the only one.
Can't believe
the play calling.
Well, it's funny because wasn't Alex Van Pelt, we thought, out of like the big four, Covington, Mayo, Elliott Wolf, and Van Pelt were like, all right.
The safest.
Well, no, not necessarily the safest,
I'm sorry.
But just the best at
doing
his job.
Doing the best at his job. You're right. Not the safest, doing
this
the best
was a step
at his
backwards.
Job. Yes.
This was a step backwards. Although everybody else in contention for that, like who's the best, who's the worst, nobody had a good game.
No.
Mayo wasn't good. Covington wasn't good. And then Elliott Wolf, obviously, all season. Just this is the team that he has.
So let's, in case you've missed any of this, let's set it up here on Jones and Keefe. On a Patriots Monday, we will talk to Hunter Henry. We have man-to-man-to-man coverage with Christian Gonzalez.
Nice.
We'll get to all your phone calls all day long. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number and the text line. You can tweet and interact on Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Watch along on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can also chat there. Always a healthy conversation going on Twitch. And you can watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. So if you're watching on Twitch, as Keith just said, Terp did a good job putting up the video of Robert and Jonathan. Now, I'm no lip-reading expert.
That was pretty clear-cut.
I'm very bad at this. Remember when Mac was talking about the quick game sucking or whatever it was? Our quick game effing sucks?
Yeah.
I tried to play the lip-reading game that day and did exceptionally poorly at it. So I let the professional lip-readers try to come
everybody.
Up with it.
It's not for everybody.
No, it's not.
I gotcha.
It's tough in those streets.
Yeah.
So the professional lip readers out there, Robert says it's the offensive play calling. Okay, now this is after they get stuffed for another loss, unimaginative, horrible play call.
Negative run.
It's the offensive play calling. Jonathan Kraft, the play calling is terrible.
The play calling is terrible.
With his notes.
Yeah.
And the two of them just like chit-chatting like they're watching the Patriots like anybody else is going, this sucks, it's terrible, it's the play calling.
Yeah.
That's an odd question.
Not a great sign.
It wasn't a question, it was a statement.
No, but I kind of thought, Jerod Mayo, and for all the reasons I've mapped out all year long, his relationship with Robert Kraft and like all the things that he said about him during the season and all this, that, and the other thing, I felt like Jerod Mayo was safe. Alex Van Pelt, I thought he might have been one of the guys that would have been easy for them to move on from and tell the fan base, hey, we're trying to change. But Drake May has been playing well. So who, at least on the coaching staff, would deserve any credit at all for Drake May? It would be Alex Van Pelt.
I agree.
So then I was thinking, man, is there a scenario where they're both back and, maybe Covington's the only one that's gone and then their big pitch is we're going to spend money in the offseason. We're going to bring in players. New D coordinator and players, and then that's your pitch.
Yep.
I kind of thought that until yesterday's game. When he's sitting there hammering away notes, taking notes during the game.
And again, the owners.
Both of them straight up saying how bad the offensive play calling is.
Yeah.
So what are they going to do? Just trot it right back? I think Alex Van Pelt's gone now.
Okay, me too. One more time. It's the offensive play calling, Robert. Jonathan, the play calling is terrible.
So that guy's not back.
Okay, that guy's not back. Then you get Mayo after the game. This worm. And he tried to walk it back today.
Shockingly.
Both in his press. Oh, who could have seen it coming?
I was shocked that he walked it back.
Who could have seen it coming that less than 24 hours later he had to course correct?
Normally stands by his convictions. When Mayo says something, you can put it in pen.
You can etch it in stone with Jerod Mayo. What a worm. I didn't mean anything by it.
That's what it was. He was emotional or whatever.
Yeah, let me get the exact wording.
Shouldn't you be used to it by now? You guys lose every week. Shouldn't you know what that feeling is like?
He was defensive.
Oh, yeah, right. He's defensive.
Yeah, that's what
I wish
was.
The team was defensive. Give up 30 points to the Cardinals.
Okay.
Lord.
So, like, oh, I was defensive. Oh, the next question, I tried to correct it. Wasn't the next question, Gerard.
That was like three later.
But if you missed the exchange yesterday after the game, he's asked about the back-to-back runs on third and fourth down, down by the goal line, inside the five. They run it with Gibson on third down. They run it with Stevenson on fourth down. Stuffed.
Couldn't even measure.
Could have made it a one-score game. They didn't even bother bringing out the chain
game.
No,
you're
like,
good.
Didn't get there. We all knew you were going to be short. We all knew what the play call was.
Awful.
So they're stuffed there. Could have made it a one-score game, you know, late in the third quarter, 4 or 5 minutes left, whatever it was. And so Mayo's asked about it after the game. Here's what he says.
Do you consider running Drake in that situation, that it's a short yard situation, you know, he can run?
That's – you said it. I didn't.
I did say that. Would you say that?
You said it. I didn't. Is there any other way to take that than a direct shot at Alex Van Pelt?
No, that is. That's,
you said it. I didn't.
That is throwing Van Pelt under the bus as to why we didn't do that.
Wow.
Forgetting that he's the head coach.
Yeah, you're in charge.
You're the head coach.
You're the boss.
You can do that.
Yeah.
You can go down to Alex Van Pelt and say, hey, run it with May. You can be like, hey, do like some sort of like option type play or QB sneak, whatever you want to do. You're the head coach. You can do that. And you know what? The worst part of it is you were caught with your pants down for two plays. Because let's say third down, you're like, hey, AVP, run it. And he runs it to Gibson. And then he goes back. And then on fourth down, Mayo's standing there like, man, I wonder what he's going to call. I wonder what the play call is going to be.
What could we be calling here?
You're the head coach.
Yeah.
You said it. I didn't.
Okay. I did say that. Would you say that?
We asked Van Pelt about this on Friday. It's actually very good timing.
This is great timing. Although I wish we had Van Pelt on today.
No, me too.
But it was good talking to him on Friday, and we got a good answer out of him.
We asked him whether or not he, you know, whether or not Mayo had input, basically, on running the football, running clock, being aggressive, this and that. He's like, I work for coach. Coach wants us to run it, I run
it.
Coach wants me to be aggressive, I'll be aggressive.
Yeah, against the Colts, the one we're talking about is Gonzalez, who we'll get to, and he'll be on the show today. One of the few very bright spots on the team. He comes up with an interception, and you're up by 7 with 8 minutes to go. We're thinking, hey, chuck it. Maybe make a big play, and what do they do? Run, punt. Yeah, and you're like, oh, that was nothing. And that clearly was, just watching it, you felt like Mayo said, hey, let's kill some clock. Hey, we have the lead by 7. Like we play so scared. And that's definitely a Gerard Mayo thing. And then so now for this one, it's like, hey, did you think about running Drake May? He's like, fuck. Yeah.
You said it.
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah. Like, oh, my God.
So is there an organizational divide where, like, the coaches want to use him? I mean, he did run for a touchdown yesterday, but it wasn't a design run.
Yeah, and that was.
And it wasn't a sneak or anything like that.
I mean, or when the game even was in hand.
Well, that too. But, like, is there an organizational divide or disagreement? Mayo was asked about that today. Maybe. I mean, maybe the coaches don't have the latitude to do what they want down there.
I don't think Mayo has any feel for it. I think he's never called defensive plays. So what do you think he knows about offensive plays?
Nothing.
Nothing. So if something goes well, maybe he'll take credit for it. But if it doesn't, like, oh, it's Van Pelt. Head coach offense, which is another thing he'll walk back.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I mean, basically.
Beginning of the year, head coach offense.
Basically, if he said it, Keith, it's a safe assumption he's walked it back.
Right.
If he opened his mouth and uttered words this year, he's probably corrected it and or walked it back. Or been reprimanded behind the scenes and we just don't know about it.
I'm sure Alex Van Pelt, though, appreciates today's clarification. I'm sure Alex Van Pelt looks at it and says, oh, I don't really mind that you threw me directly under the bus after the game.
I'm sure he says what Mayo says. You know my heart.
Yeah.
I think Van Pelt knew his heart on that one. It wasn't just throwing the man right under the bus.
Tossed him right under there.
Not whatsoever. By the way, here was the correction. He had a longer one with the Greg Hill show, but here was his correction in his press conference this morning. It's pretty to the point.
You know, I know there's a lot of chatter about, you know, the question last night. You know, you said that. I didn't mean anything by that.
No.
It was more of a defensive response. And ultimately, and I tried to clarify that, with the follow-up question, because ultimately all of those decisions are mine. So I just wanted to get that out there.
Good.
I do like that he reverts back to the it all stops with me kind of thing. It's like, all right, well, you're 3-11. So like, if you want us to put it all on you, I guess we can. But you've definitely not wanted it to all be on you. He keeps saying how accountable he is, except for all the times that he wasn't accountable.
Curran was early on this. Credit to Curran.
Yeah.
Curran, you know, has a relationship with Mayo. They work together on Quick Slants. We all know it. We all saw it. Curran was early on this.
Yeah, he
months
called
ago.
Him out for that.
He's like, he keeps saying it's on him. But it doesn't sound genuine. It just sounds so disingenuous to be like, well, yeah, you said it, I didn't. But ultimately, it stops with me. And it's so weaselly and Bill Belichickian to go, well, I tried to correct that in the next question. Wasn't the next question. You were asked about it like three questions later. You didn't correct it at all. You were asked about it later on or else it never would have been corrected because you probably didn't even know what you said when you said it.
I know.
Which is what we see all the time. So, Keith, I said this weeks ago. We said it all during the bye week. I'm a broken record on it. Just like Mayo's a broken record after all these games. You got to do better and blah, blah, blah. What's going to get him fired isn't singularly the play on the field. I mean, that's a big factor. It was awful yesterday. It's as bad as it gets. Something about being at 4 o'clock head-to-head with Bills and Lions made that feel worse. So on the field matters. But all of these missteps off the field are just as bad. And, like, I know he and the Kraft feel the same way. They don't like the play calling either, so maybe that'll save him his job at the end of the day. And he's stabbing Alex Van Pelt in the back just like he was stabbing Bill Belichick in the back a year ago. But these are the kind of things that if and when he gets fired, gets him fired.
Oh, for sure. And this also just feels like Drake May is going to have three offensive coordinators in 3 years.
Yep.
He's going to be another one of these quarterbacks like Mac Jones or Baker Mayfield or whatever. Ryan Tannehill, I think, had a million of them in Miami. Like, because it feels like it's trending towards blame Alex Van Pelt for this year. Gerard Mayo comes back in year two. And then after another bad year, then Gerard Mayo's gone, and then it'll be a brand new head coach and offensive coordinator in year three. That's where it feels like it's going. And, you know, Mayo, remember he kind of threw Elliot Wolf under the bus earlier in the season when he was talking about the roster is what it is. I won't say if it's good or bad. And, like, we're dealt a hand. Remember, like, all that stuff?
Yes.
But it's funny because, well, it's not funny. It's kind of sad. These three guys are in these situations, and normally, I mean, you think where the Patriots were coming from, it was Bill Belichick was two of those guys that we're talking about, and then he handpicked the offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some success, some not success, I think, depending on who he picked. This is completely different. Elliot Wolf is the GM who did not pick the head coach, and the head coach did not pick the offensive coordinator. So, like, all these guys are probably would be happy to stab the other in the back.
Oh, there are,
like, if Jonathan Kraft and Robert Kraft beat with each guy individually, like, whose fault would you say it is? They'd all have, like, another guy. Like, that guy's fault, that guy's fault, that guy's fault.
There's one life raft, and they're drowning each other to get on that life raft.
Yeah.
Is exactly what they're doing. So, look, there was a flood of reporting yesterday morning about Mayo and his job security and how he's going to be safe. And there was good reporting on Bill Belichick, too. We'll get to that later on in the
program. That was also pre-game.
Well, this is what I was going to say.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if Diana Rossini, your girl,
she's usually right.
Josina Anderson, my girl.
She's usually actually right.
I wonder if they jumped the gun on their reports. Here's what Rossini said. She said, well, there hasn't been a public vote of confidence from the Kraft family. True. There's been no public vote of confidence.
No.
We haven't heard anything public.
Although, to be fair, to be consistent, if they did that, I would actually feel worse about it. I always go with the false.
We would dissect that.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's a worse look.
Okay,
I think that's actually a worse look.
Fair. But there hasn't been a public vote of confidence. There really hasn't been much off the record until this. Patriots leadership is standing by head coach Gerard Mayo. Just as discussions about the next NFL hiring cycle heats up, Robert Kraft has privately assured those close to him he's committed to giving his first-year head coach the time and resources he needs to grow in that role.
Ew.
She also added the Kraft family knew the rebuild would take multiple years. They did? Multiple years?
I mean, starting now or, like, starting post-Brady? Like, what are we doing? Maybe they're counting now, but as a fan, it's like, no, this has been five years.
It's been half a decade.
Yeah.
They want to allow Mayo, quote-unquote, the opportunity to find his voice.
Yeah, he's still looking.
Establish his footing. That could take a while. And develop into the leader they believe he can be. So, you know, it's a little wordy, but basically Mayo's back. Josina Anderson also said, source on the Patriots and their head coach, Rob Mayo, whether there's been any thought of Mayo's tenure ending with a one-year run. Quote, there was never any consideration of this. The Lions started 3-13 the first year under Dan Campbell. You heard that before?
I hate it. Yeah, no, I hear it all the time. That's why I keep saying it, too. I have a broken record. But they were 3-3 in their last six.
Yeah. What do you think the Patriots was pointing up.
The Patriots could end the season on a seven-game losing streak.
I would wager on it.
I mean, that's what it's looking like.
They started 1-6 the next year. People were calling for his head. Plus, that was going on before Mayo became head coach, too. Patience is a virtue. So there was all this reporting yesterday before the game. And then yesterday happened. And he might have, according to Albert Breer, talked himself right onto the hot seat yesterday.
No, if you add everything up, it's as bad a performance for Gerard Mayo as you could get. The way the team looked, coming off a bye, slow start, just a mess, And then after the game, so and you lose to a team that's really not great,
no.
500, middle of the pack at best, probably not a playoff team.
Non-playoff team, exactly.
And you get absolutely worked by them, a non-competitive game, and then your first reaction post-game is to throw the offensive coordinator under the bus?
Got it.
I don't think you could have drew it up worse outside of like 50 to nothing. You know what I mean? Like everything else was bad.
So he may have talked himself right onto the hot. He is just dodging a bullet. Bunch of reports he's safe.
No.
And then after the game, he puts
not so fast, my friends.
Who could have predicted that? We'll get to Albert Breer, his latest comments about Mayo and his job security. We'll get back into the final three games of this season. How bad can it get? And if it gets real ugly, is Mayo safe? All your phone calls, 617-779-7937 here on a Patriots Monday. Jones and Keefe. We'll talk to Hunter Henry. We'll talk to Christian Gonzalez. We'll go around the NFL and what happened. Billy Lanny with all the latest in trending. And then let's get into Breer's comments on Jerod Mayo next.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov. The Patriots have now dropped four in a row after yesterday's 30-17 loss to the Cardinals in Arizona. Drake May was 19 of 23 for 202 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. Pats are now 3-11 with three games remaining. Next Sunday, the Patriots will be in Buffalo to play the Bills. Week 15 in the NFL will wrap up with the Monday Night Football doubleheader. At 8 o'clock, it's the Chicago Bears against the Minnesota Vikings. You can hear the call of that of Bears-Vikings right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM with Westwood One's coverage beginning at 7:30. And the Las Vegas Raiders host the Atlanta Falcons. That game kicks off at 8:30. It's back-to-back wins for the Celtics after last night's 112-98 victory over the Wizards in Washington. Jason Tatum had a game-high 28 points and led the Seas with 12 assists. Kristaps Porzingis is listed as day-to-day after leaving yesterday's game with a heel injury. Season now off until Thursday when they host the Chicago Bulls. Bruins got the 5-1 win over the Canucks in Vancouver on Saturday. The Bees' West Coast trip continues tomorrow night in Calgary against the Flames. And yesterday, the Boston Red Sox traded utility man Emmanuel Valdez to the Pittsburgh Pirates for minor league pitcher Joe Vigotsky. Valdez was DFA'd last Wednesday. Want to get on the nice list this holiday season? Help your friends, family, and businesses by helping them find money at findmassmoney.gov. It takes only 30 seconds, and if you haven't checked in a few months, go now and look. They're constantly updating the list. Findmassmoney.gov. It's fast, easy, and free. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.